And welcome to today's broadcast of It Is Finished with your host, Evangelist K.L. Rich. Thanks for tuning in today. Today is Friday. It is September the 18th of 2015. I pray that you have had a blessed week and that your remainder of the week continues to be blessed as well. Before we begin today's broadcast, I would like to invite you to visit me on my website, my new website, at www.klrichministries.com. Again, that's www.klrichministries.com. On my website, you can view previous ministry broadcasts as well as get books for your entire family. If you'd like to donate to the cause of this ministry, you can do so securely online, and you can also, I'm putting up blogs on my website, so I'm in the works of putting up new blogs on the website, and you can also, if you like to read my daily blogs, you can go to www.it-isfinished.blogspot.com. And every day, Monday through Friday, I put up blogs. We're going through the book of James. And so I have a book. It's called The Book of James, 30 Days of Devotion for Men. And even though this is a men's devotional, it's also good for women as well. It's going through the entire book of James. So breaking down all the verses in the book of James. So again, you can get all my books on Amazon.com. I do hope to eventually be able to mail those books out to you personally. I do plan on having my own bookstore. Online bookstore where I would be able to ship to you directly and cut the price that you would normally pay with Amazon.com. So that is hopefully in the works for the near future. All right. Before we begin today's broadcast, we have a ton of headlines as always. But before we begin, please keep in prayer your fellow brothers and sisters. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. Please keep in prayer your fellow brothers and sisters all throughout the world, including the United States, who are being persecuted and for the sake of Christ. Christianity is under major attack. And we have different terrorist groups like ISIS and Boko Haram and Al-Qaeda and different terrorist groups who hate Christianity, okay? We have countries like China who is hostile to Christians, going as far as to take down their crosses off of their church buildings. We have the United States of America who's attacking Christians by way of the court system. It used to be where we had freedom of religion. Now they're taking away our freedoms. They're forcing people who, for religious reasons, don't want to be vaccinated. They're in California. They're making it mandatory where all children have to be vaccinated if you're gonna go to a school in California. And this includes even those who are being homeschooled and taking courses online. And I just read your article about that yesterday, where this father was, he's an advocate against vaccinations, and I'm not sure if they was targeting him particularly because of that. However, it could very well be. But his child is taking courses online, homeschool, and they told him that if his child did not get vaccinated, that they were basically going to drop his child from the home courses. Where in the world? What is this country coming to? It is coming to an end, and it's letting you know. So please keep your fellow brothers and sisters that are being persecuted in the legal system here. We just recently had Kim Davis, who was jailed over being not signing off on gay marriages, not issuing out any licenses. She's a circuit clerk, and this is in Kentucky, and so this was all over the headlines. So let's remember to just keep our fellow brothers and sisters in prayer, because the time is upon us right now, rather, that there's major persecution coming, and it's going to get worse than this. It's going to be persecution where it's going to cost your life. Okay, and you're going to choose which side are you going to be on. Are you going to be on the side for God, or are you going to be on the side for the devil? But there is no gray area. There is no in between. As a reminder, we are on every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 7 p.m. Eastern, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. And also, we're on Sundays for Hour of Power at 12 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Central. Please keep this ministry in prayer. We are trying our best to bring you quality headlines and news that you can use and the word of God. And we really need your support. So if God lays it on your heart, please go to our website at www.klrichministries.com and click on the donate button, and you can give your gift, your love offering there. And it would be greatly appreciated towards the furthering of this particular work. There's a lot of things that I'm trying to bring to you. I want to be able to make sure I give out free Bibles for anyone who needs free Bibles. We're going to be having free lessons next year. So I will send you free lessons explaining to you about God, the Bible, just helping you with your relationship with God. We're working on some more lessons. So just pray with us as we grow as a ministry and be able to do the work of God. And in order to be able to do that, we really appreciate your contribution as well. All right. If you're not following me on Facebook for the latest news that you can use, please do so up under KL Rich Ministries. Again, that's KL Rich Ministries up under Facebook. You can also listen to previous ministry broadcasts under Evangelist KL Rich on YouTube. So if you miss a broadcast, don't fret. You can go to my website at klrichministries.com, or you can go to YouTube on Evangelist KL Rich, or you have the option to go to blogtalkradio.com with the / it is finished. All right. We have a ton of headlines that we're going to be going over today. The headlines are just, what can I say? They're crazy. They're crazy. They're crazy headlines. What am I talking about? Doritos, yes, the chip company, is producing rainbow-colored chips in partnership with nonprofit. It gets better. There is simply no escaping the New World Order push of the radical LGBT mafia's agenda. Even our beloved junk food is no longer safe from its insidious reach. Doritos Rainbows are a limited edition version of its cool ranch flavored tortilla chips to show the chip maker's support of the LGBT community. The chips come in shades of green, blue, purple, red, and orange, inspired by the colors of the Pride flag, who are the main consumers of the products, the ultra impressionable 18 to 24 year old age group. No surprise there, since gays cannot reproduce, they must indoctrinate and recruit. Despite pockets of the resistance in areas across the country, America as a nation has fully embraced the LGBT lifestyle and all it represents, I'm sorry, from the United States Supreme Court all the way down to a maker of junk snack food. Everywhere you look, Sodom and Gomorrah are being brought back to life. We say that we are doing it to be tolerant, open-minded, and inclusive, but nothing could be further from the truth. The fact is that God's restraining hand has been taken away, our protective covering lifted in judgment against us, and we don't even know it. America in 2015 is not a Christian nation. Under Obama, we have become a secular, pagan nation that worships all gods except the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have forgotten that God completely destroyed both Sodom and Gomorrah for doing less than we are doing right now. The glory has departed from America, and we cannot see it. In the Bible, we are doing right now what Eli, the high priest of Israel, his two wicked sons, Hophni and Phinehas, brought God's judgment upon their nation because of their sins. When Phinehas' wife died giving birth to his child, they named the boy Ichabod, which means that the glory, God's glory, had departed from Israel. That's exactly where America stands right now. We are so used to having God's blessing, favor, and protection, which has made us the mightiest nation on earth, that we have taken it totally for granted, and we think that we will always remain on top, but the wolf is already at our door. We elected a Muslim president who right now at this very moment is flooding America with tens of thousands of ISIS war fighters. Obama calls them Muslim migrants, and we are being shipped, and they are being shipped to every state in our nation. What you are now seeing in Europe is only a very short time away from being an everyday reality here in America. Have you read how God judged nations in the Bible? He raised up other nations against them. What's that, you say? You cannot imagine America overrun with Muslims and beheadings happening daily on our streets. Just think that you will break up. Just think about what while you break open a nice big bag of Doritos. I'm sorry, it says think about that while you open a big bag of Doritos, rainbow chips. Now, this article basically is letting us know we're up under judgment. There is no, it's coming, it's here. What we're seeing in Europe being overflooded by migrants, Islam migrants, is going to happen here in the United States. We already got them busting them in. And I'm going to read some more on this because it was something that was posted in the article that was said by one of these radicals. And we really need to be careful. And I posted this on my Facebook page. And we will talk about that in just a little bit. All right, post-deal Iran asks if U.S. is still great Satan or something less. Negotiating the nuclear agreement was a torturous two-year process for Iran's leaders, but a new kind of struggle is unfolding now in Iran, where the supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, the president Hassan Rouhani, have begun to tackle a question Iranians have not thought about since the revolution 37 years ago. How to deal with their great enemy, the United States, after having reached a compromise with it. The two leaders are offering starkly opposing visions of Iran's post-deal future, reflecting their divergent attitudes toward the great Satan. We have announced that we will not negotiate with the Americans on any issue other than the nuclear case, Mr. Khamenei said this month. Speaking to a group of hardline students recently, he was even more explicit, telling them to prepare for the continuation of the fight against America. Okay, I'm going to say this. We have some fools in the White House. Yes, they're fools. They're foolish. Anytime that you're making a deal with people who have made it their life's mission to destroy you, and they're not recanting, they still consider us big Satan and Israel little Satan. They still hate America. They still want us to want our demise. So anytime idiots in Washington are making deals with these demons, then you can expect to get burned, okay? So you have Barack Obama pushing, we need to make a deal. The Democrats just, I think I have an article where they just basically tore down the deal that could have blocked this deal from going through. And so I already knew it was going to go through because this is of the devil. But the thing is, while they think that they're doing this and it's going to harm Israel, see, they really believe is that it's going to hurt Israel. As we know, our president is no friend of Israel. I don't care how many meetings he had with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He showed his colors when they were having their election. He sent his own campaign officials over there to try to defeat Benjamin Netanyahu. The government is meddling in other people's business and other people's countries that have nothing to do with us. Why would the U.S. president send his campaign advisors, his campaign team, over to Israel to try to defeat Netanyahu? Why did he do that? Because he figured that if he ousted Netanyahu, then it would be a better, it would be an easier street for them to be able to divide Jerusalem, to divide Israel. And they're trying to have this two-state, what they consider a two-state solution. And there is no solution to this. But the thing is that they don't understand that it won't happen until God allows it to happen. And when it does, it's going to be judgment upon our land. Our land will be divided as well. But, of course, these government officials is of a reprobate mind. These Democrats is siding with Obama. I mean, it's really unbelievable the things that's going on. It's like telling a cobra, I'm gonna be friends with you. And you got the cobra all up in your house. But the thing is, it's still a snake. And what do snakes do? They bite. They're nobody's friend. And this was what Iran is. Iran is a snake. Iran is nobody's friend. Iran is not America's friend. And as soon as they get the opportunity, they're going to bite. Just like they say, oh, we're not doing any kind of negotiation. Well, there shouldn't have been any negotiation on the table if they weren't going to release our soldiers, release our American citizens from over their country. That should not have been negotiable. You want to talk with us? You release our people. That should have been in the story. However, these are the times that we're in, where common sense is no longer common sense. Common sense now is being told you're evil. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Moving on, President Obama invites Muslim youth who built bomb clock to White House. Okay, so this Muslim youth, he built a clock, and he thought his teacher was going to be impressed. And so he took it to the school, showed the teacher. The teacher was concerned about what this kid had built. So it was a big old thing where the kid was suspended and, you know, for suspecting of making a bomb. Okay. And it was on September the 11th when this took place. So, rightfully so, the teacher was concerned. Now, would he? You don't know. But you can't be too cautious. So when all of this took place, then Obama decides to chime in and invite him to the White House. Let me ask a question. How many of our persecuted Christians has Obama invited to the White House? How many kids who have been where they can't go to they can't read the Bible in school, been kicked out because they're standing up for their Christian beliefs? How many of them have been kicked out I mean, I'm wondering how many of them have been kicked out and then since they've been kicked out, how many of them have been invited to the White House? You know, kids that's openly can't read their Bibles in school, openly can't pray in school while they're building prayer rooms for Muslim students, but Christian students for years have not been able to pray in an open air school for separation of church and state. So when is Obama going to bring some Christian students there? See, everything Obama has done has been to promote the Islamic agenda. And for some reason, it's like our whole government is endorsing Islam. But it's going to be to their demise. Because this was not what the founding fathers had built this country for. The same beheadings and killings and things that we're seeing right now are the same things that was taking place during times when Muhammad was alive and beyond. So, again, if you have any doubt that Obama is not a Christian, he is not. He lied to you. He lied saying he was a Christian. going to Reverend Jeremiah's church was just a front, just to make it look like he was a Christian, just for campaign purposes. That's all it was. Moving on. Pentagon considers strikes. The Pentagon is looking for new ways to stop missile strikes. One of the methods being considered is the use of preemptive strikes. Currently, missile defenses must shoot down the weapon, which usually doesn't occur until it's close to the target. But the officials say they may take a more offensive left-of-launch approach. The problem is the policy issues involved, but now there is more willingness to discuss it. Other options are also on the table because U.S. missile interceptors are not enough to stop the threat posed by a number of countries that have ballistic missiles. Lieutenant General David Mann says there will never be enough interceptors to stop the threat. Well, I put it like this. The U.S. is in big trouble. The U.S., I've said this before, is that the U.S. will not win another war. God's hand has been removed. The U.S. will not win another war. I truly believe they're not going to win another war. You got transies they're letting in the ranks of the military. You got them celebrating things as a slap in the face to God. You got them constantly killing babies every day. Videos popping up where they bragging about the parts that they're extracting from babies. It's sin in this nation. And this nation is going to pay. China's new airstrip to boost anti-submarine defense, much to U.S. chagrin. Beijing has begun construction of a third runway on its artificial islands in the South China Sea. According to military experts, the landing strip could extend China's anti-submarine capabilities, a development that Washington isn't exactly happy with. The United States has long expressed outrage over Beijing's construction of artificial islands in the South China Sea. Their exasperation was only strengthened last April when the Pentagon uncovered the construction of a military-grade runway on Fiery Cross Reef. Now, recent images now show that Beijing is building not one, not two, but three 3,000-meter airstrips in the Spratly Archipelago. Located on Fiery Cross, Mischief, and Subby Reefs, the runways provide China with a strategic triangle, which experts say could allow the military to conduct anti-submarine operations in the region. All right, so what's going on here? China has made some man-made islands. They're putting their military system on there. They're telling the U.S. to stay out of our airspace. They're claiming it as theirs, even though it's not. And you know what the thing is? It makes the U.S. look weak. The U.S. right now is looking weak in everybody's eyes. Itself and maybe their NATO partners. But the U.S. is not respected anymore. They laugh at us. We're no longer the great country we used to be. This is no longer a great country anymore in the eyes of many people in other nations. We're just declining. You know, people used to try their best to get over here. And the ones who are trying to get over here now, I'm talking about the Muslims, are not over here for freedom. They're over here to establish a caliphate. And it seems like it's on its way to happening in many European countries. The EFF shows how U.S. phone carriers help NSA collect America's metadata. The Electronic Frontier Foundation this week admitted evidence in two lawsuits showing that Verizon Wireless, Sprint, and AT&T helped the National Security Agency collect America's phone records. The submissions are important, the EFF says, because despite leaks from former NSA contractor Edward Snowden and other sources, the government still maintains that individuals and organizations cannot sue because only they have failed to show that the NSA collected bulk data. Meanwhile, the government has refused to disclose which agencies participated in the collection, saying such information is a state secret. The EFF submitted government filings in the Secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court that were recently made public. The filings confirm that AT&T, Verizon, Verizon Wireless, and Sprint participated in the NSA programs since they report on a compliance incident involving those companies, the EFA said in the release. Okay, so what is it saying here? This is saying that these companies have allowed the NSA to spy on their customers. This is basically what it says. AT&T, Verizon, Verizon Wireless, and Sprint. So if you're up under any of those phone companies, more than likely, your conversation has been listened to by the NSA. Now, was Snowden accurate in what he said? Of course he was. Of course. They're spying on the American people. Yeah, and the thing is, it's not the American people they need to be worried about. They need to be worried about these other countries that they're making deals with. Okay, President Obama will apparently test how far the Pope Francis' notorious tolerance will go by inviting a rogue gathering of people opposed to Catholic teaching to greet the pontiff at the White House during his visit this week. The editor's note says, I have a feeling that things are about to get real weird real fast as Pope Francis prepares to meet with Obama at the White House in a historic first ever visit. Obama is stacking the deck with a potpourri of LGBT standouts to meet with the Vatican CEO. The question that remains to be answered is whether Obama is doing this to show his obvious disdain for the Bible's teaching on homosexuality, or more likely to aid Pope Francis with his efforts to bring the LGBT into the Catholic Church. Yeah, that's it, according to the editor. So the White House is they're having an openly gay Episcopal bishop that's supposed to be there. It's supposed to be a transgender. I'm trying to get the three people that's, yes, okay. A pro-abortion, a religious sister, a nun, a transgender woman, which is not a woman at all, and the first openly gay Episcopal bishop, along with at least two other Catholic gay activists. This is, you know, what is so crazy is that this president is like, he's just, do he have anything else to do other than gay, LGBT? I mean, you would think this man is having all kind of orgies in the White House full of gay folks, because that's how he's acting. He acts like there's no other issues outside of gay and destroying America, of course, with Iran deals and whatever else he can destroy. I mean, he is doing everything he can to destroy this country. And guess what? He's doing quite well at it. He's doing very, very well with this. His goal was to create change, and that's what the slogan he ran on. Yes, we can. And yes, he did. And the thing is that it is not for the better. It's for the worse. It is to the American people demise, the things that he's doing. And now he's hooking up with the false prophet. Makes me wonder, is Obama the actual Antichrist? It makes you wonder. Because for him to be hooking up with the Pope at this particular time, they're both trying to accomplish climate change, and we have the UN Agenda 30, and we're going to talk about that. I believe I'm going to try to talk about that on Monday, this UN Agenda 30. Now, most of you have heard about UN Agenda 21, but now there's going to be a UN Agenda 30, which is supposed to take place starting in January 1st of 2016, to be implemented all across the world in various countries. And so it's, from what is being told, it's like you in Agenda 21 on steroids. So what in the world are these evil people plotting? What are they plotting? Only God knows, right? Well, some of it has been leaked out. And so we're going to talk about it. I believe on Monday we're going to go over UN Agenda 30. It's just letting us know the times that we are living in. It's serious, serious times. Two injured, more than 1,000 evacuated after fire in Mecca. More than 1,000 pilgrims have been evacuated and two have been injured during a fire at a hotel in Muslim holy city of Mecca, Saudi Arabia. The incident occurred just 6 days after a deadly crane collapsed at the pilgrimage site. Saudi officials say the fire erupted on the 8th floor of the 11-story hotel in the city's Aziza neighborhood. Associated Press reports firefighters managed to rescue two injured pilgrims, with a further 1,000 being evacuated unharmed, the Civil Defense Agency said. Okay, so just a few days ago, there was a deadly crane collapse at the pilgrimage site, and now there's a fire. Is God saying something? Is God trying to wake them up to him? Two incidents in less than a week. It says the bloodiest occurred in 1990 when at least 1,426 people died in a stampede in an overcrowded pedestrian tunnel. The deadliest fire in Mecca took place in a tent city in 1997 and killed some 300 pilgrims. Now, many Muslims make the pilgrimage to Mecca at least once in their lifetime, because they're expected to do so. The collapse of the crane that took place just a few days ago in Grand Mosque of Mecca killed more than 100 people and injured hundreds of pilgrims. So, what is God trying to say something? Let them know the error of their ways, and they don't understand. They're not getting it. See, nothing happens by coincidence, and nothing happens without God allowing it. And this could be something that God is saying, you know, this I'm not this Allah God that you all are praying to, provoking war, peace instability, and this is what they're doing. Putin tightens reins on Ukraine rebels, putting conflict on ice. Ukrainian separatist leaders say their hopes of full integration with Russia or greater independence are fading as the Kremlin tightens the reins on their rebellion. Russian President Vladimir Putin appears unwilling to risk broadening his conflict with the U.S. and European Union over Ukraine, senior separatist officials said in interviews this month, meaning the rebels' regime's future is more likely to resemble Transnistria, the Russian-backed breakaway area of Moldova, whose fate is still unresolved more than two decades after fighting subsided. Okay, so is this saying that Putin is not really worried about Ukraine? Where is his interest at? See, he might have his sights on something bigger, such as the United States. See, Ukraine, he probably said, okay, I'm not going to worry about them so much right now, because I'm finna set my sights on something bigger. See, you don't chop off the snake at the tail, you chop off the snake at the head. And that might be what he's gunning for. Moving on, China is hoarding the world's oil. Even after China's slowing economy dragged crude to a six-year low, oil, second biggest consumer, remains the main safeguard against a further price meltdown. While China's surprise currency devaluation helped trigger Brent crude slump to about $42 a barrel last month, the nation's stockpiling of oil can staunch further losses. In the first 7 months of the year, China purchased about 500,000 barrels of crude in excess of its daily needs, the most for the period since 2012. According to data compiled by Bloomberg, as the country gathers bargain barrels for its strategic petroleum preserve, the demand is cushioning an oversupplied market from a further crash, according to Columbia University on Global Energy Policy. It throws a lifeline to the market. This safeguards against the risk of crude oil touching $20 a barrel. Jeff Curry, a head of commodities research at Goldman Sachs Group Incorporation in New York, said on the phone, "This lifeline lasts through late 2016. So by China hoarding a bunch of oil, they're saying that it's keeping the price from dropping as low as it can drop. Last month it was $42 a barrel, and they're saying that they thought, you know, they could possibly go down to $20 a barrel. Wow, if it went down to $20 a barrel, that means you'd be paying, what, $1 for gas? We haven't seen those prices since, what, the 90s? But since China's hoarding oil, now what is China hoarding oil for? That's the question. The fact that China is stockpiling crude for public strategy storage certainly offsets the weaker sentiment on China's oil product demand. Okay, so again, what is China planning that they're hoarding oil? They're prepping. It's like they're prepping for something big. What is going on? Only time will tell. France considers border control. Prime Minister Manuel Valls said his country's parliament, France, will not hesitate to restore border controls in the wake of the refugee crisis. The group was expected to debate the issue, but many members did not show up for the meeting. In the spring, France restored temporary controls on the border with Italy. Earlier this week, Germany reinstated its border controls. Australia and Slovakia follow suit. Poland is considering doing the same. Well, the thing is, it said France will take in 24,000 refugees in the next 2 years. Do you know how fast these Muslims are going to grow in these countries because they populate like rabbits? Okay? You're going to have an influx of Muslims. They just don't understand the danger they're in. They really do not understand. And the thing is not that people are converting to Islam. It's that they're populating. They have, what, about 5, 6, 7, 8 kids? So they're populating. That's why it's growing so fast. It's because of the population numbers. They're the reproduction numbers. The U.S. in danger of a mega drought. Where the Colorado River falls from the snow-capped Rocky Mountains into the arid U.S. Southwest lies Lake Powell, more than 500 feet deep in places with narrow side canyons. The shoreline of the lake is longer than the entire west coast of the United States. It extends upstream into Utah from Arizona's Glen Canyon Dam and provides water for Nevada, Arizona, and California. But a severe drought in recent years, combined with the tapping of the lake's water at what many consider to be unsustainable level, has reduced its levels to only about 42% of its capacity, according to the U.S. Space Agency, NASA. Okay, we know that there is a major drought. California, they had said it only has like a year supply of rain. It's less than, year supply of water left. It's less than that now. These are signs of the time when you're talking about droughts, which will produce famine, which will produce plagues, diseases. Things are taking place. And again, these are signs of the time, the things that are taking place right now. If you don't know that Jesus is coming back, you must be in the dark ages, because Jesus is coming back. And we must be ready. We must be ready for when Jesus comes back. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I want to be ready. How about you? Do you want to be ready when Jesus come back? Because only Jesus is the one that can save us. We go over these headlines every day, not just to bring you the news, but we go over these headlines so we can let you know just how soon Jesus is coming back. And we are trying our best to get the message out to the world, to get the message out to the people. And so many people are asleep, even in the body of Christ, and do not realize the times that we are in. And it's up to us to make sure that we spread the good news about Christ coming back. Because he is coming back. And he's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. And it is so important for us to make sure that we be about our Father's business. Who is going to spread it if we don't spread it? Who is going to share the news if we don't share it? Who is going to show Jesus if we're the ones that can show them Jesus if no one else does, okay? And so it is up to us to do what we're supposed to do in the kingdom of God. We're going to just take a quick break right here, and we're going to be right back in just a moment. We are in the end times. And there is so much taking place, and we're wondering what is going on. But Jesus told us in Matthew 24 to look at the signs. And the signs are all around us. Death, murder, disease, famine. But we know that we have Jesus, and he is coming back to take his children home very, very soon. Are you ready? Please join us every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Pacific for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. Also, join us on Sundays for just an hour of power at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. Central. God bless you. And feel free to join us at our website at www.klrichministries.com. Again, that's www.klrichministries.com. And if you have any questions, feel free to call us at 678-900-1869. Again, that's 678-900-1869. God bless you. All right, we are back, and we would like to, again, invite you to visit me on my website at www.klrichministries.com. Again, that's www.klrichministries.com. If you would like to support this broadcast, please do so on the website by clicking on the donate button. Again, that's www.klrichministries.com. Please share this broadcast with your friends, with your loved ones. Invite others to listen in. And also, please give them the love of Christ and tell them that they can come to this ministry's website and learn about Jesus and learn the unadulterated truth of what God has to say for these end times. All right, there's still so many headlines, but you know what? I'm going to have to wrap it up because our time is passing by quickly. One of the things we're going to go over today, and we're going to go to the Word of God very shortly, but we're in a time when we need to really be in our Word It is so urgent for us to be in our word. To study the Bible daily, to read the word daily, because it's just like a movie. You can watch it over and over again, and you will always find something new that you hadn't paid attention to the first time. And it's the same thing with the word. You know, some people brag about, oh, well, I've read the whole Bible. Yeah, but how much of it did you retain? How much of it did you even understand? And many people don't understand. And so they read it like it's a storybook. And especially the book of Revelation, you cannot read like a storybook. You need to be able to research and understand and allow God to open up your mind in order to comprehend the things of Him, because only God can help you to comprehend the things of that are of Him. And so we need to be praying. Read the book of Revelation. I have a set of lessons called Revelation, Removing the Prophetic Veil, and it's available on Amazon.com, and it breaks down the entire book of Revelation for you to understand. And so I pray that you will go to Amazon.com and get the set of lessons and understand, read them, so that you can understand what's happening in today's time. It's called Revelation, Removing the Prophetic Veil. We're going to have more lessons that we're coming out with, and so they will be available on Amazon.com. And then after a while, if God's willing, sometime next year, I will be coming to you with the online bookstore where you can get them cheaper and get them directly from me instead of going to Amazon, unless you choose to go to Amazon. I'll be able to ship them to you directly from me. All right. So we pray that that will be in the works. Top Iman: Muslim migrants should breed with Europeans to conquer their countries. Now, this is what was said. They should breed with Europeans to conquer their country. They have lost their fertility. This is from Infowars.com. It says, speaking at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, Ayyad stated that European countries were not rolling out the red carpet for migrants because they were compassionate, but because Europe was in dire need of a new source of labor. So what they're saying is they're not rolling out. They're not letting us in because they're trying to help us. They want some more people in the workforce. That's what they're saying. Europe has become old and decrepit and needs human reinforcement. They are not motivated by compassion for the Levant, his people, and his refugees, say Ayyad, adding, soon we will trample them underfoot, Allah willing. Throughout Europe, all the hearts are enthused with hatred towards Muslims. They wish that we were dead, but they have lost their fertility. So they look for fertility in our midst, he asks. We will give them fertility. We will breed with them because we shall conquer their countries. So what they're saying is they're going to marry European women, those who come over here, American women, breed, as they put it, so they can raise up other Muslims. See, this is how they multiply. So they're counting on, in a lot of places, you know, a lot of women, oh, there's a male shortage, there's not a lot of men. Okay, so they're saying they're going to breed with you once they come into these countries. But then it's not going to be like you think. It's going to be them trying to raise up Muslims. They're trying to make Muslim families so they can conquer the nation, not try to integrate and assimilate in it. They're trying to conquer it. Okay. And this took place in the Bible. And I put on Facebook, women do not marry Muslims. If they come over here, I don't care how good looking they are, whatever, do not marry them. Okay. Then that means don't be sleeping with them. They're here for one purpose: reproduce, so they can build, so they can have an army of taking over the country, a caliphate. They can raise other Muslims, and this is what their goal is. And just like he said, we will give them fertility, we will breed children with them, because we shall conquer their countries. Ayyad stated that whether you like it or not, Americans, Italians, Germans, and the French will be forced to take the refugees. This is what he's saying. We shall soon collect them in the name of the common caliphate. We will say to you, these are our sons. Send them, or we will send you our armies to you, concluded Ayad. Ayad correctly outlines the fact that Europe is facing demographic disaster because its citizens have stopped having children. Italy's current birth rate of 8.4 per 1,000 people. Goodness. So Italy's birth rate is 8.4 per 1,000 people. It's the lowest since 1861. And the picture is much the same across the rest of Europe, where population is only increasing as a result of mass immigration. That means that people are not having children like they used to. Families are getting smaller and smaller. And then with the onset of homosexuality, there is no reproduction with homosexuality. Homosexuals can't reproduce. It goes on to say birth rates in the West are far lower than those in the Middle East and sub-Saharan Africa, which is where most of the migrants are coming from. The notion is using mass migration as a form of stealth jihad is outlined in the Quran, which states, "And whoever immigrates to the cause for the cause of Allah will find on the earth many locations and abundance." To immigrate in the cause of Allah, that is, to move to a new land in order to bring Islam there, is considered in Islam to be a highly meritorious act, according to writer Rob Spencer. So basically what they're saying is, this is a good thing that they're doing. If they migrate to another country so they can turn that country into have the Islamic caliphate, then it's honored by by Islam. And so basically this is what they're doing. This is, I mean, in Obama, in United Nations, they're playing into this. They're playing into this, giving them what they want. These people have babies like puppies. And therefore, if they keep doing it, yes, it's gonna Christianity is gonna be less and less and less because of this. That's why it is so important for us to witness. That's why it's so important for us to spread the news about Christ, because we're gonna be we're gonna be extinct. We're going to be on the endangered species list. Why do you think there's going to be beheadings and martyrdom? Why is it going to be taking place in the last days? Because we're going to be the endangered species. We're already becoming the endangered species. And it's because, see, a lot of people is thinking, oh, it's going to be these other religions like the Catholic Church that we have to worry about. You need to reevaluate your prophecies. No, the trouble with the end times right now, where people were once believing that it was the Catholic Church, and yes, the Pope is playing a role, but he's also introducing heresies, saying that Islam, and just recently prayed towards Mecca, they took his shoes off, so he's bringing this stuff together, the false prophet. And we're looking at, oh, it's the Catholic Church. No, you better be looking at Islam. Islam is the danger of the last days. Islam is what you really need to be concerned about. While everybody's saying, oh, well, we believe in the same thing. We believe in the same God. And God is Allah. And we pray to the same God. No, we do not. Their God is not the God of the Bible. Their Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible. They don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They don't believe that he died on the cross. They believe he was replaced by, I believe, Judas. And he did not actually die. They don't believe the same God that we believe in. Jesus said we have to accept him in order to belong to the Father. And if we don't accept him, then there is no other way. People need to wake up, because we're in serious trouble. These are troublesome times right now. And, you know, people are like, oh, well, the sun is up and the sun is shining and nothing. You know, you're going to work every day and, you know, things seem like, oh, it's just as normal. You don't know what is happening to our demise. We're going to go to the book of Ezra, and I'm reading out the Life Application Study Bible. Ezra chapter 9, that's in the Old Testament, right before Nehemiah and after 2 Chronicles. Ezra chapter 9, and it reads, because Ezra, he was concerned about the intermarriage that was taking place with the heathen nations. And see, this is what this man is talking about, is that he, with the intermarriage, that they are breed with us Europeans and Western nations and Americans and Italy and France to get their caliphate going. That's what it's about. And it reads, when these things have been done, the Jewish leaders came to me and said, many of the people of Israel and even some of the priests and Levites have not kept themselves separate from the other people living in the land. They have taken up the detestable practices of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and Amorites. For the men of Israel have married women from these people and have taken them as wives for their sons. So the holy race has become polluted by these mixed marriages. Worse yet, the leaders and officials have led the way in this outrage. See, they're talking about the leaders. The leaders are the ones that were leading this. They were going, marrying all these heathen nations, giving their sons, getting their sons wives from these heathen nations, and it polluted. See, well, you can't mix oil and water. You can't mix the devil with God. And these nations, because, see, the Israel turned away from God, and a lot of it was because they were intermingling with heathen nations that they had no business intermingling with. And they were marrying them, having children with them, and it was diluting what God had ordained. It goes on to say, when I heard this, I tore my cloak and my shirt, pulled hair from my head and beard, and sat down utterly shocked. Then all who trembled at the words of the Lord of Israel came and sat with me because of this outrage committed by the returned exiles. And I sat there utterly appalled until the time of the evening sacrifice. At the time of the sacrifice, I stood up from there. I had sat in mourning with my clothes torn. I fell to my knees and lifted my hands to the Lord my God. See, Ezra, he saw what had taken place. And so he was in utter mourning because of it. If you're not upset, you see, pastors need to be talking about this. They need to be telling, when you see articles like this, they need to be telling their congregation, don't you marry no Muslim. That's why the Bible says, do not be yoked with unbelievers. They're unbelievers. You do not get yoked with them. Being yoked with these people will bring the demise of Christianity. Is anyone even teaching this? Do not be unyoked with unbelievers. Chrislam is not God. You cannot mix Christianity and Islam. Christians should not be marrying any Muslims. It doesn't mix. And we're going to be overtaken if we don't teach this. Don't marry. I don't care. Women, you know, you saying, oh, I want a man. You better wait for God to send him. You got to wait for God to send him. Because God's not going to send you a Muslim and you a Christian. He's not going to send you somebody that you're unequally yoked with. He's not going to do that because just like he didn't like it in the days of old, he does not like it now. The Bible says, be ye not yoked with unbelievers. That means in your relationships, in marriage, dating, in your friendships. Yes, you know, you're to teach and you're to help people and you're to be kind to people, but you're not supposed to marry them. You're not supposed to participate in the wickedness. You're not supposed to do the same things that they're doing. That's what it means by that. And many people have fallen away from God. You one question you can ask, who were they associating with? And more than likely, whoever their association was, played a part in their turning their backs, apostate state of God. Your association is important. That's why it's important to know, to wait on God. See, we gotta be telling this truth to others. Tell them, do not mingle with these Muslims who are coming in these countries, because they are not there to integrate. They're not there to change. And yes, I know there are some articles that are saying, oh, Muslims are converting, and I praise God that they are. But then also be leery of the ones who are doing it to just to act as if they are converting when they do not have a true conversion. God will let you know so that you won't be deceived. God will let you know if this person is real or fake. Because, you know, the things of God, you know, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. We have to ask God to give us the discernment so that we will know the things of God. It goes on to say, at the time of sacrifice, I stood up from where I had sat in the morning, and my clothes torn. I fell to my knees and lifted my hands to the Lord my God. I prayed, oh my God, I am utterly ashamed. I blush to lift up my face to you, for our sins are piled higher than our heads, and our guilt has reached to the heavens. From the days of our ancestors until now, we have steeped in sin. That is why we and our kings and our priests have been at the mercy of the pagan kings of the land. We have been killed, captured, robbed, and disgraced, just as we are today. But now we have been given a brief moment of grace, for the Lord our God allowed a few of us to survive as a remnant. He has given us security in His holy place. Our God has brightened our eyes and granted us some relief from our slavery. For we were slaves, but in His unfailing love, our God did not abandon us in our slavery. Instead, He caused the kings of Persia to treat us favorably. He revived us so we could rebuild the temple of our God and repair its ruins. He has given us a protective wall in Judah and Jerusalem. And now, O our God, what can we say after all of this? For once again, we have abandoned Your commands. Your servants and prophets warned us, and they said, the land you are entering to possess is totally defiled by the detestable practices of the people living there, from one end to the other. The land is filled with corruption. Don't let your daughters marry their sons. Don't take your daughters, their daughters, as wives for your sons. Don't ever promote the peace and prosperity of those nations. If you follow these instructions, you will be strong and will enjoy the good things the land produces, and you will leave this prosperity to your children forever. Now we are being punished because of our wickedness and our great guilt, but we have actually been punished far less than we deserve. For you, our God, have allowed some of us to survive as a remnant. But even so, we are again breaking your commands and intermarrying with people who do these detestable things. Won't your anger be enough to destroy us so that even this little remnant no longer survives? O Lord, God of Israel, you are just. You come before us in our guilt as nothing but an escaped remnant, though in such a condition none of us can stand in your presence. We're going to go to verse 10 because Ezra was praying to God, and he was apologizing for the sins of the nation, apologizing that they did not obey God. God told them, if you don't marry these people, do not give your sons daughters, do not give your sons wives from these nations. Do not marry them yourselves. Do not do this. You're going to be in a land that's full of wickedness. But if you obey my laws, then I will make sure that you prosper. But they didn't obey. And so Ezra was praying and repenting on behalf of his people, on behalf of the nation, because it was only a remnant of them that were actually following God. While Ezra prayed and made this confession, weeping and lying face down on the ground in front of the temple of God, a very large crowd of people from Israel, men, women, and children, gathered and wept bitterly with him. Then Shechaniah, son of Jethiel, a descendant of Elam, said to Ezra, We have been unfaithful to our God, for we have married these pagan women of the land. But in spite of this, there is hope for Israel. Let us now make a covenant with our God to divorce our pagan wives and to send them away with their children. We will follow the advice given by you and by the people who respect the commands of our God. Let it be done according to the law of God. Get up, for it is your duty to tell us how to proceed and send things straight. We are behind you, so be strong and take action. So Ezra stood up and demanded that the leaders of the priests and the Levites and all the people of Israel swear that they would do as the Shekinah had said. And they all swore a solemn oath. Then Ezra left the front of the temple of God and went to the room of Jehoiakim, son of Eliashib. He spent the night there without eating or drinking anything. He was still in mourning because of the unfaithfulness of the returned exiles. So what they did was they made a vow that they would do right. And it goes on to say, then a proclamation was made throughout Judah and Jerusalem that all the exiles should come to Jerusalem. Those who failed to come within 3 days, if the leaders and elders so decide, forfeit all their property and be expelled from the assembly of the exiles. Within 3 days, all the people of Judah and Benjamin had gathered in Jerusalem. This took place on December the 19th. And all the people were sitting in the square before the temple of God. They were trembling both because of the seriousness of the matter and because it was raining. When Ezra, the priest, stood and said to them, "You have committed a terrible sin by marrying pagan women. You have increased Israel's guilt. So now confess your sin to the Lord, the God of your ancestors, and do what he demands. Separate yourselves from the people of the land and from those pagan women." And the whole assembly raised their voices and answered, "Yes, you are right. We must do as you say." Then they added, "This isn't something that can be done in a day or two. And many of us are involved in this extremely sinful affair. And this is the rainy season. So we cannot stay out here much longer. Let our leaders act on behalf of us all. Let everyone who has a pagan wife come at a scheduled time, accompanied by the leaders and judges of his city, so that the fierce anger of our God concerning this affair may be turned away from us. Only Jonathan, son of Asahel, and Jaziah, son of Tiva, opposed this course of action, and they were supported by Meshullam and Sabai the Levite. So this was the plan they followed. Ezra selected leaders to represent their families, designating each of the representatives by name. On December the 29th, the leaders sat down to investigate the matter. By March 27th, the first day of the new year, they were finished dealing with all the men who had married pagan wives. So what did Israel do? Israel decided that they were going to go back to God, and they were going to do as God said. And they got rid of their pagan wives and the pagan children. They sent them back. They made things right with God to do as God said. And that's why when this Muslim leader is saying that they're going to integrate and have children and so they can take over the nation, so they can further Islam, we need to be speaking out. We need to be telling these Christian women and Christian men, if there's women that's coming over, that you do not marry them. Do not have children with them. Do as Ezra did. Eradicate that. See, these countries, this is demonic that is happening. But we need to teach. We got to teach the truth. Do not have children. Do not marry these Muslims. Do not date them. Do not do it because it goes against God. And the thing is that Christianity, again, is going to be it's going to be an endangered species, you know, like animals on the list, because we are going to be the minority and we should have been the majority. But because so many churches are watered down and they're not teaching the truth, they're teaching the doctrine of Nicolaitans, compromise, the doctrine of Jezebel, idolatry, where you're worshiping money and things. Balaam, you got a lot of Balaams in the pulpit for profit. This is what's wrong with the body of Christ. And we have to repent. All of us must repent for the sins that we have committed. Please say a prayer with me. Lord, forgive us, Lord, as a nation. We have erred in your face. We have turned our backs to you, stuck our thumbs up, and said we don't need you. Lord, forgive us. God, we have sinned. We have done wrong. We have made a mockery of you, Lord, and you said you would not be mocked. God, we have not done what we were supposed to do as the body of Christ. We have failed you, Lord. Lord, forgive us. Teach us your ways. Let us be hearers, and not just hearers, but doers of your word, Lord. Lord, show us the way. Those who are really trying to obey you, God, open up the doors for us to be able to be a light unto your people. Let us be able to stand for you, God. Let us be able to show others Jesus by seeing him in us. Lord, forgive us. We have many, many sins that we have done, God, against you. We as a nation have done wrong. Lord, forgive us. And for those of you who have not accepted Jesus into your heart today, I ask that you say this prayer with me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. I accept Jesus into my heart today. Fill me, cleanse me, make me anew. I repent of all my sins. I ask that you would forgive me, Lord. Help me to change. I cannot do it without you. I accept Jesus as the Son of the living God. Have mercy on me. And if you have said that prayer, then welcome to the body of Christ. God loves you. He cares for you. He sent his son down here to die for you. And all you have to do is just accept him into your heart. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God bless you. Today is Friday, and I pray that you have a blessed, blessed weekend. I pray that you will make Jesus your choice. I pray that if you have not accepted Jesus, that you will, and you will accept him into your heart and repent of your sins and find a Bible-based believing church and be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back on Sunday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times. God bless you. Jesus is Lord. Jesus.